Music and Booze with Mo is co-produced and distributed by Nitty Grits, the media division of the National Food and Beverage Foundation, changing the world one taste at a time. Welcome to Music and Booze with Mo. I'm Mo Herms, and I've worked in the music industry most of my life, so have met some pretty amazing musicians over the years. I also love a good cocktail, and I've encountered some really interesting bartenders as well. It seems that there's a lot of crossover, so when I can, I like to talk to musicians and bartenders about music and booze. Join us at the bar, won't you? Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by The Mermaid, a cozy neighborhood bar with an aquatic flair in the Little Tokyo area of downtown LA. Open 7 days a week, featuring tropical cocktails and snacks, The Mermaid also has a daily happy hour from 5 to 8 p.m. Follow The Mermaid on Instagram at TheMermaidLA to hear about upcoming events and check them out at TheMermaidLA.com. Head to 428 East 2nd Street, Los Angeles, for a drink.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these broken wings and learn to fly all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. Blackbird singing in the dead of night. Take these sunken eyes and learn to see all your life. You were only waiting for this moment to be free.
I was really, really lucky to get to go to Miami, Florida recently and sit down with Jill Cohen, who at the time had been a lifer at Blackbird Ordinary. But Blackbird Ordinary is a wonderful bar in Miami, which has a great, great bar program and a lot of fun music too. They're like the best combination of a cocktail bar and a nightclub. It's a really fantastic place to hang out in the daytime or in the evening, depending on what your mood is. And Jill Cohen was with them from the start. She really cut her teeth on bartending at Blackbird Ordinary, and we have a really wonderful rock and roll girl gab fest on this episode, which you are about to hear. She's no longer at Blackbird Ordinary, but I highly recommend you go there because it's a great place, and you will hear the love in her voice for this particular bar, so you know it had to be something good that had to take her away from such an amazing home. And we'll talk about that at the end here. But right now, sit down and listen to Jill Cohen and myself talking about all kinds of things. I say rock and roll, but I also mean Broadway musicals. It's about to happen.
All your life, you were only waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise. You were only waiting for this moment to arise.
Okay, well, we'll just start with it. Hi.
Hi.
So tell me who you are.
My name is Jill Cohen.
And we are sitting in Blackbird Ordinary.
Yes, we are.
In Miami, Florida, and I love this bar. And can you tell me a little bit about Blackbird Ordinary? How long has it been around?
So Blackbird Ordinary has been around about 6.5 years. So exactly when I started, I opened the doors.
I was gonna say, you've been here since the beginning.
Yeah, I helped make these tables with them before we opened the doors.
These are beautiful tables,
yeah.
Actually.
Yeah, these are real vintage bird book pages. And we did some cool art project and made these. They're awesome.
Yeah, so were you just a bartender then? Or were you one of the, like... What's your history with Blackbird Ordinary?
I started, the owner is a very, very good friend of mine, and I came to him one day and I was like, hey dude, I need a job. And he was like, hey, well, I'm opening this spot in a week or two, you should come by. And all he had really for me was a cocktail waitress. And I said, okay, fine, I'll do it. But if I'm not behind the bar in 2 weeks, I'm leaving.
Nice.
2 weeks exactly, I said, put me behind the bar or I'm leaving. And the next day I was behind the bar, and I was very young and new to the industry.
I was going to say, had you bartended before?
I had, but not in this magnitude. It was more so like slinging and ringing vodka sodas at music festivals and stuff like that, and smaller
party
venues.
Stuff.
But I did a ton of, I've been a cocktail waitress since I was too young to be a cocktail waitress, or bottle service. And I really always wanted to be behind the bar. I demanded it. So I would take a couple hours on all my days off and come, and I got to train with some of the best bartenders in the world.
And that was here?
Yeah. I was very, very fortunate because they were super generous with their time and their knowledge, and I wanted it really bad. So I came, I trained, and, just climbed
it's
the ladder.
It's not easy. You have to study this stuff. I mean, there's so much that you have to commit to memory.
It's a lot of
before it becomes muscle memory.
Absolutely.
Anyway,
years. Mm-hmm. Years. And it's poetry, too. It's a dance getting behind that bar, especially that it's high volume here. We're moving really, really fast. And we're pumping out really exquisite attention to detail kind of cocktails at a super fast pace. So it definitely takes a ton of learning. And
after 2 weeks,
after
you were back there.
I demanded it. I got behind this bar. And it's a beast of a bar. And I'm so fortunate because I've dedicated myself to this place for many years and finally got to be, step into this role as the bar manager.
What do you love about bartending?
Oh, man, so many things.
Yeah.
I mean, first and foremost, it's fun. And I couldn't imagine, I graduated actually while I was working here, PR with a minor in hospitality. And at the end of it, I was like, well, I still really love bartending, I can't imagine myself.
Bartending's hospitality.
Yeah, no, for sure. I'm definitely putting some of it into good use. But I like the fast pace. I like being able to move, being able to laugh and share with people and bonding. And then also the creativity that I'm able to express making these cocktails and building these menus and these programs.
That's why I've fallen in love with cocktails over the years, because you guys have been able to come up with such amazing things. And
it's artistry for me, and I'm really, really thankful that I get to do it. It's a total privilege.
So what was kind of your journey then when you started? That sounds so shishy of me. What's your journey as a bartender? But, I mean, when you got behind the bar, you were saying, you were doing the regular and drinks and all this kind of stuff. But you knew when they opened this bar that it was going to be more of a crafting.
It was my
kind of thing.
First introduction to craft cocktails in general. And I saw, these people who became my very, very good friends, I saw them doing some really amazing stuff that I didn't think was a thing.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I grew up in a very, culinary-oriented household. Flavors were just a thing for us. I was always into, having a really good understanding of flavor.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, this is the same thing. It's just with booze.
It totally is.
Super naturally to me, which I didn't expect at all. You don't really go into something thinking that you're going to fall in love. And I really, really did. I threw myself into it completely, which was, it was the first time in life that I felt like, man, I'm really crushing this. I'm good at something. This is great. I haven't felt that way since, I don't know.
Was there an early cocktail that you remember making you feel that way when you started on this? Because I love that you compared it to food, because obviously it's the same thing. It's a creating of flavor, new flavor profiles with existing flavor profiles, and people readily accept that in the food world. Mm-hmm. The whole foodie culture, and I think it's been more of a learning curve in the cocktail world.
Mm-hmm.
So was there something that you created at some point where you were like, damn, I totally did it with this drink, when you were first starting?
So I'll take it in two parts. The cocktail that I saw someone make that was like, wow, that's so dope. And now to me, it's nothing. It's child's play. It's just something, we're all required to know as bartenders. But it was a Sazerac. It's, absinthe rinse and just this beautiful, display of finger work and a nice discarded lemon zest at the end. So watching one of my girlfriends make one of those, I was like, wow, that's like, I love this shit.
That's definitely awesome. Artistry.
Yeah. And so, still being like the new kid on the block, we have these in-house cocktail competitions every time we're about to switch menus. So all the bartenders, we have a competition amongst ourselves, and whoever wins that competition gets a cocktail on the next menu.
Cool.
So back in that day, when I was a newbie, I made this cocktail, and I won.
Oh,
and I was
awesome.
Like, I've never fucking won anything, dude. Like, never won anything. So to
cool.
me, I was like on top of the world, and it was called the Royal Swan, because I think you see a theme here.
Yeah, there's a lot of bird things
everything
going on.
Everything is birds.
Here.
We love our birds.
The current menu is called Just Got Laid.
Yeah, that was...
Which is so genius.
Yeah,
I
think you'll notice all of the puns in there that I've been... And that's just a sneak peek of the kind of full product, the final product. It's going to be really cool. And again, it's all birds and bird puns. And I literally go to sleep at night thinking
of bird stuff.
Yeah, everything bird related. Nesting bitch face is going to be one of,
oh my
one
God.
Of the next ones. Like, I mean, two chicks at the same time.
They don't stop. So what was the Royal Swan?
The Royal Swan was a gin cocktail served up in a coupe. And it is Plymouth gin honey basil syrup, grapefruit juice, a little bit of lemon, and it's served up in a creme de violette rinsed coupe.
Oh, yum.
With a tiny blip of sugar on the rim.
That sounds beautiful.
And garnished with an edible orchid.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So when you say you love flowers,
yeah, well,
heart,
I would
like,
say it's you, as you were describing it, it sounds so floral.
It's like
it sounds
you
really...
personified in
well,
a cocktail.
Me right now, this second, with the purple dress
exactly.
and all this stuff. Yeah.
It's crazy.
It
yeah.
sounds, well, you know I have to try that now.
Yes.
If you can still make it, I'll
make
try
you a
it.
Variation of it.
Okay.
Because I don't have the infused honey, but I can,
of course,
I
of
can
course.
Give you a little riff on it. And it's,
well,
yeah.
Speaking of the infused stuff, we're sitting at a table that has a flower pot on the end of it.
Yeah.
With some stuff growing in it. Do you guys grow your own herbs and stuff
yeah,
here?
Yeah, we do. So we have pots of mint leaves at every table, should you choose to dump it in your drink, or, you know, it's also, you know, just part of our aesthetic.
Okay, because, yeah, I was noticing, I'm like, they do look a little, some look a little kicked over, some don't, and I was just kind of like,
yeah,
you're actually
gonna,
growing
we're gonna,
things here
yeah. so
inside
we do,
the bar.
We do an edible herb wall on the patio. It's not up right now, but we're working on putting it back up. We used to have it, and I'll pull up a picture of it for you, but it's awesome. It's this huge,
is it something you can do year-round?
Yeah.
Because,
oh,
yeah. I mean, we're Miami, so
yes,
the weather
course.
Should agree with you mostly.
It sure does.
Oh, my God, that's insane.
Yeah.
So you guys grow herbs on the property
yeah.
as well that you can use in the drinks, too.
Yeah, we put a
wonderful.
Huge emphasis on freshness. All our ingredients, all our juices, our produce, everything is fresh.
Awesome. And so you really had the best to play with
oh,
when
yeah.
you were creating
yeah.
space.
I
guess you all do currently.
It's a playground. It's really like the best space to
that's so fun.
To be able to create.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So let's talk about music then, because
okay.
music is, there's creation there too, and this is, I mean, I'm under the impression on the weekends this bar is kind of going off.
Yeah.
There's like a DJ booth in the corner, this whole backyard area, there's this kind of stuff. We're here on a weeknight, so it's mellow, which is, I'm getting older, I'm preferring that these days.
Yeah, me too, but it gets bananas in here, and we love it. Tuesday nights, actually, this is the calm before the storm.
Oh, yeah.
So Tuesday nights, we have ladies' night, and it gets, it's a
lots
party.
Lots of squealing.
It's
lots
a party,
squealing.
Man. Yeah.
So obviously, this is a place that loves music.
Yeah.
Also.
Yes,
do you
absolutely.
Guys have live music here, or just DJs?
Sure. Yeah, we have a big
all
stage outside. We do live shows. Awesome venue for it. We have a ton of space. I don't know if you've gone out.
I did peek outside.
Okay,
yeah, totally.
We'll
really
take,
cool space.
We'll take a walk out there after.
Yeah. And then, but you yourself, you are also a music fan. You have to be, because you're a creative person.
Yeah.
That's the thing in this world.
Who doesn't love music?
Who doesn't love music, but you're a creative person. So
yeah.
it's kind of like the creative people have, we were talking before we turned on the record button about your eclectic bullshit mix or whatever.
Yeah.
No, mix of bullshit. That's what it was.
Uh-huh.
And so let's roll back into that. Let's talk about you and music.
Okay.
And so
cool.
like what kind of music nerd you are. Like when you What did you obsess on first when you were a kid? What music, like, did you get totally stuck on?
Oh, the angsty chick music, of course. I grew up in the 90s, so the angsty chick stuff started coming out, and that was just, we were all about it, Fiona Apple, the Alanis Morissette.
I had this breakup with this guy when that Alanis Morissette record came up. Like, we had just split up, and he had cheated on me, and we'd been living together.
Oh, my God.
And that song came out, and we were still kind of in touch with each other, but I remember him sending me an email that was like, every time I hear that song, I know it's exactly what you're thinking about me. I'm like, damn straight.
When you have a breakup, you fixate on one song for a week, and it literally transforms the way you feel. I mean, I remember times where I couldn't get out of bed for, you know, a certain duration of time.
And then the right song comes on.
You listen to it 900 times, and all of a sudden, you don't give a fuck about that person anymore. It's amazing.
Well, I was reading something about how heartbreak, breakups, is legitimately like an addiction, giving up cigarettes or something like that.
Totally.
So you have to have something that motivates you to do that and everything. Yeah. And I'm like, gosh, I feel bad for all those people who are nursing that with booze because they're just trading one for the other.
No, I don't do vices when I'm in a tough spot. I feel like I need to feel my feelings.
Totally, me too.
Get up, because I'm not an overly sensitive person. And when it has to come out, it has to come out.
You're not overly sensitive, but the angst stuff really spoke to you.
Oh, yeah. I'm an angry bitch.
I was going to say, you're an angry teenager.
I was certainly.
So did you get into the Riot Girl stuff, too? Or was it just like the Courtney Love? That kind of thing?
No. I mean,
Not too punky.
Like I said, an eclectic mix. So, you know, I can get down with all the poppy stuff that, you know, that we're not supposed to say we like, but who cares?
Totally say you like. I say this again and again and again. There are no guilty pleasures. If you like it, then you should feel guilty about it.
I have no shame. I love Britney Spears, and there's no way you'll ever get me not to. I like that Michelle Branch shit.
It's like Lilith Fair.
Yeah.
Lilith Fair with an
edge. Totally. You put that Pandora station on, and I can sing the words to every single one.
Yeah. Where did you grow up?
Here, Miami Beach.
In Miami. Yeah. So it's like, I think of Miami as so much, because my family's South American, so, you know, I get into a lift here or something and they just start speaking to me in Spanish.
Yeah.
I know,
I look
like I can do that, but I actually can't.
I'm the opposite, I don't look it, and I'm Cuban American.
Are you?
Yeah.
So you can talk to them.
I can, yes.
Because I was not brought up speaking
Spanish. I never get lost in an Uber.
So did that take any influence on you? Did you grow up listening to Cuban music and stuff too then?
I mean, I know how to salsa dance, if that's what you're asking.
No, I just wonder how much you listen to at home. I know how to merengue. I mean, in Colombia, they do that too.
So
it's kind of habit.
In high school, there was a big group of kids who were really into reggaeton, and I'm not whatsoever, but I can sing the words to a lot of those
songs. To all
songs.
Of them, because it was just in your face all the time.
Yeah, and I'm not going to lie, get a little dancey to it.
So you just made me think of this, since you have the Cuban, my family's Colombian, so when I was, I don't know, when Shakira first started, when she was really young, she still had black hair. Right?
I love her.
So, totally, she was so great.
Yeah.
I mean, she's fine now, but she was so great, and my mom, because one thing in Latin culture anyway, I've noticed, maybe you have too, is like, the grandmas and the grandsons generally are listening to the same radio stations.
Yeah.
You know, it's like mixing the same
funny
stuff.
Yeah.
So grandma knows the reggaeton too. She may not like it, but she knows it.
Yeah, she knows it, for sure.
So my mom was listening to her Latin pop, and she's like, okay, you need to hear this, you need to hear this. So she's playing me Shakira, because she knew I worked in radio and everything. And well, she kind of sounds like a Spanish Alanis Morissette.
Oh, yeah.
She has a similar voice.
Really?
That
yeah.
kind of, like she just drank a glass of milk before she sings
yeah.
kind of voice. Totally.
Yeah.
You did that perfectly.
I have a decent Shakira impression that I won't. You know, I'll save that for
oh my
for
god!
Another time
but
for
I
you.
Totally want to know.
Yeah,
that was good.
It's really funny.
well, you have to now.
I can't. I
you
can't
have
now.
To.
You can't put me on the spot like that. I'll do it for
it
you.
It comes to you later.
I'll do it for you in private. It's gonna be organic. But
all right, all right.
It's funny. It's a really good joke between one of my best friends and I
about Shakira.
Yeah, but just that voice,
right? But you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah,
it's a very particular kind of voice. So
yeah.
I was surprised that she was able to take off here in the States the way she did.
She's amazing.
She
that
is.
Song, man, and it
Ojos de Sea is my favorite song of hers.
Oh yeah, almost
because it's
incredible.
Such an amazing song. She's
yeah.
like half like Iranian or something
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that like
she has that belly
Middle
dance.
Eastern influence. Mm-hmm. Is dope.
It's beautiful. Beautiful.
She has this song that always reminds me of my late mother's late friend. So this woman I grew up with.
My mom has passed as well, so Shakira has a special place in my heart.
Yeah, and this friend of my mother's who's also passed loved Shakira. Loved Shakira. And one day...
See? Moms are teaching us.
I was a teenager, and she only had boys. So she loved me because it was like the daughter she never got to have.
Aww.
And one day she put this song on. She said, you gotta hear this song. And it was Underneath Your Clothes. But if you put that on, I will just bawl crying.
Aww.
Like, it just brings me back to this woman. Like, I remember the smell of her hair.
Aww.
You know? She was such a...
Music, smells, food,
yeah.
drinks, all of that.
Brings you back to a time.
Huge, strong memory.
Yeah.
Like, rejoiners or something like
Major
that.
Major nostalgia, for sure.
Yeah.
I mean,
so did you go back and listen to the earlier Shakira stuff
yeah.
in Spanish? Yeah.
Yeah.
She was very, like, political, angry girl. She had
totally.
Stuff to say. And then she got sexy, which
yeah.
is cool, too.
She's, you know, she's well-rounded.
Very well-rounded.
In more ways than one.
Yes.
Sure.
Well, Latin, hi.
Yeah.
We
can't hide from it.
How did you feel when she went blonde?
I love it. She's gorgeous.
She's been able to hold on to that blonde for such a
yeah.
long time, too. I went blonde for a while. It was a pain in the ass to do.
It was. I did it, too, and I loved it, and I still do. Like, I would go back in a heartbeat if I wasn't so busy and I actually had time to get my hair done that
to
often.
Maintain it, yeah,
yeah,
right.
But I loved being blonde. And then not necessarily that whole blondes have more fun thing, because like I have fucking fun.
Well, my sister is blonde. Because you know in Latin families just anything
yes.
goes.
Yeah.
So I wondered, will I look like my sister if I'm blonde? No, I just look like
no.
Gwen Stefani because I still have dark eyebrows and
oh,
I'm blonde like
I'm
this.
Sure it was awesome.
It was fun. It
it's
was
always fun
yeah.
to get a
But
little...
I did actually I noticed that people did treat me differently when I was blonde.
Really?
What about you?
I don't know.
Not so much?
I really don't know. I can't remember because it was
so long ago.
It was so long ago. But I just liked it for me because it was the first time I'd done anything that different.
That drastically different.
Yeah, like my whole, I just went blonde and I kept going blonder because I was like.
Because you could.
I was like, oh my God, this is amazing.
You're like, can I get platinum?
I'm a new woman. I didn't get all the way to platinum, though I wish I could have for a little. But yeah, I loved being blonde.
Well, how does this, when we were having that conversation, this somehow reminded me of when I was here last year, I mentioned to you that there was a Bowie cocktail on the menu
yeah.
at that time. And I remember feeling like this was a very rock and roll bar
yeah.
when I came in here. And so is that, have you guys had like kind of musical menus ever? It's birds, I know, this is very birds.
It's not only bird oriented, no. it's kind of just like a... We just get to have fun and play around with whatever we want. So when naming cocktails, I guess we try to be as cohesive as possible. But really, at the end of the day, we make the cocktail first, and the cocktail has to be awesome.
Yeah.
We do a ton of trial and errors. And then when we're like, well, what are we going to name this? We're like, just get stoned and think of some cool stuff, you know? There is nothing glamorous about this process. It's a bunch of idiots sitting around.
Very rock and roll.
Thinking of some fun stuff. And our owner loves Bowie. I can't remember if it was before or after he passed when we named it the Bowie.
I was here a year ago and he had passed. But that drink has probably been on your menu, on the menu for a while.
For a while, yeah. So it's, if I can remember correctly, it is a riff on a Pisco Sour. It is a raspberry lemongrass Pisco Sour.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, it's dope. It's really, really good.
Nice. So it has lots of colors in it.
By virtue of that.
So how, in this space, what is music to you guys in this bar? You know, obviously you have live music here, but the program here.
Okay.
I honestly walked in and just felt like this bar rocks, but I felt like this strong music vibe when I came in here. And I came here at 3 in the afternoon on a Wednesday or something. Mm-hmm. So how was I picking that up?
So we are, and I wish I had one of our old shirts on it, because the origin of the name Blackbird Ordinary, it represents everything we're about. Music and cocktails. So the word ordinary is an old term used for drinking taverns many years ago.
That's true.
So they called them ordinaries.
Yeah.
And Blackbird is a songbird.
Mm-hmm.
So
I think of a Beatles song.
Right. We used to play that all the time.
You still love it?
I love it.
I
love it.
It's a tough call.
It has a special place in my heart, you know? But yeah, so Blackbird Ordinary is a place for good tunes and good drinks.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. So what kind of DJs do you guys have in here? Do you rotate the styles?
We like to do open format. A little bit of everything. We're total people pleasers. We like to cater to every single person in the crowd, you know? So we, anywhere from 80s, 90s, old school hip hop, new school hip hop, top 40, pop, a lot of rock.
Well, then I'll put you on the spot. If you were DJing up there and you got to do whatever you wanted.
Oh my God, I don't know.
Everybody would just be like, it's just Jill's night.
It depends on the day. So is it chill during the day?
Do you want to DJ at night or do you want to DJ during the day?
If it was during the day, during the mellower hours, people aren't trying to get lit. Oh God, I hate even saying, it doesn't even sound cool when I say it. I'm officially old.
Okay, what's your day drinking playlist?
So day drinking for me is Billie Holiday. Type of chill. And then at night, I really like this early 2000s house music. When I first started in the industry, that was playing nonstop.
And it kept you going?
You get this certain rhythm when you're behind the bar. That you need a specific kind of tune for. And that house music was the first catalyst for me to into it, get into the game.
Yeah, yeah.
Get into my zone.
Well, that takes me back to when you were saying it's a dance back there.
Yeah.
So you've got the right music on for you.
Yeah, I mean.
And you can get into that groove and make those drinks.
But the way the crowd responds to that stuff still today, it's stuff that we went crazy over when I was a little bit younger. People still hear it today. I mean, you throw on, It's a Fine Day and stuff like that.
That opus, that
it's gonna be a fine day tonight.
That song?
People open windows, yeah.
Stuff on, you feel like if you DJ'd that stuff that it would be good feeling.
Yeah, people go nuts. Totally happy. Man. They like that high energy kind of That's stuff that makes you want to get up and dance. Like, I get it, the new stuff is, you know, what they're listening to, and it makes them happy. But when you get a jolt of something, like a little blast from the past,
yeah,
and it's so, like, it's intense.
Yeah.
Like, that's what gets
people.
There we
go. We're like, back to the memory thing.
Yeah.
The, you know, the memories with the drinking and with the music and with the
everything
food.
Everything is cyclical. Everything yeah. comes back in waves. You know, all the stuff that we wear now is some derivative of something our mothers wore. You know?
It's true. Everything I wear, I literally find pictures of my mom wearing almost the exact same thing.
Shit, those high-waisted jeans.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. My mom always wore flowers in her hair, and I didn't do it because of her. They just work, you know?
Yes. I do this. I rock this bandana probably for
the
last...
I would say, you've got this bandana, and I love it.
So I want you to check this thing out. I just washed it for the first time in God knows how long.
The bandana?
This is Old Faithful. I've been wearing this for maybe 10 to 15 years. Feel
that
how
very
like,
same bandana?
Yeah, this very one.
So
it
soft.
Has seen several countries.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, it's so soft.
Way too
that.
Many shifts here. And this is my, it's I don't perfect. Know, it's my signature thing. I love it so much. I wear it almost every day.
Yeah. And you could have sent me a note saying, I'm the one in the bandana.
Yeah, yeah.
That's how I roll.
Absolutely. And it's cool here because it's, I found it as a tool to just get people to remember me. I mean, obviously, I want them to remember me
anyway.
By my craft. But, I mean, you know, we see thousands of people a night, and it's nice. It's nice for, you know, the second someone sees me, I remember you, you know? It happens all the time.
So this bar... I must have read about this bar before I came to Miami to have come here. So mm-hmm. You must be doing a good job as you're getting your name out there.
We're doing something right.
Yeah. So, I mean, have people, am I not the only one that comes in from other parts of the country?
No.
Or the world
oh,
to
God,
come check
no.
you guys out?
So
how do people find out about you? I don't even remember how I found
I mean,
out about you.
So we're on a lot of...
Do you guys make those best of lists?
Yeah.
Are you like that?
Yeah, we do.
You're fancy like that.
We get a lot of those lists. But, you know.
Your best of for cocktails and best of for a good
those
time.
Those are great. But we do get a lot of word of mouth.
Yeah.
You know, our reviews are excellent on all those forums. I think I got a couple in here. I think from Sweden. And they
oh,
told
wow.
me that they found it an article on the magazine inside of the little pocket
on the plane.
Wow. And they had to come in. First thing they did when they came here was come
that's
and
amazing.
Have a cocktail with me. And I was like, that's so dope. That's
amazing.
Stuff I like.
Yeah, I was going to say, that must make you really, really happy.
Oh, my God. Psyched.
Yeah. Kind of so what do you think is your favorite thing about this job? I mean... Your craft career has been pretty much all here at Black Bird Ordinary, right?
Craft, yes,
which is
absolutely.
Like the craft stuff.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there must be so much to love, but what is one of the favorite things that have happened with you
this
here?
This community is so
yeah.
special, and it's something I'm like...
By that, do you mean the cocktail community
yes.
or the bartender community?
Yeah, the bartender community, not just here, but all over the country, and in other countries as well.
Mm-hmm.
We're so connected, and what's so great is everyone's so generous and helpful and giving. It's, I mean, you know, some Joe Schmo bartender from Chicago puts a little blast on Facebook. Hey, looking, one of my buddies, my sister is getting married, and she's having her bachelor party in Miami. Anybody out there can, you know, kind of direct them where to go, and people jump on it. You know, oh, come see me here, come see me there. Like, everyone is so giving and caring and looking out for each other.
Like, it's you hospitality people. But I'm actually a Cancer, and if you know astrology at all, that means that I'm, like, one of those mom types. So
uh-huh.
I totally understand that. And I was like, oh, that must be why I like this scene so much. When I love a great bar because it's a community-building thing.
It's family. What I love about this bar in particular is that... We're very selective in that everyone has to be, it has to be a family, you know? We all love each other so much.
Everyone has, I mean, you want everyone to fit in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just meld with each other. Be the kind of people that,
to do unto others kind of thing?
Yeah.
Pretty
yeah,
much.
Yeah,
that's
totally.
How I look at it is.
Yeah.
you know, the way you want to be treated.
That's how you treat others. Of course. And everyone here is so amazing. We hang out with each other more than our own families, you know?
That says something if you work together as well.
Totally. Yeah.
You know, you could be sick of each other, and sometimes that environment.
It's unbelievable that we haven't, but I mean, I get withdrawals from these people if I don't see them for too long.
Yeah. Amazing. You know what? That must be what I felt when I walked in here.
Yeah.
I just, you know, could just sense that this was just a great bar.
We always want to put forth that warmth, that inviting energy.
Well then, okay, I'm going to take this back to the music thing really quick.
Sure.
So you are creating cocktail. You're going to make cocktail for your bar family.
Yeah.
You guys are just getting together. You're hanging out. You're shooting the shit at home.
This is really easy.
There you go. I was going to say, is it just a shot and a beer?
It's
what do you make?
A shot and a beer.
It's always a shot and a beer.
It's a shot of tequila and a highlight. Or a Tecate. And
I did see on the menu that there's like a, it's the Ocho Reposado.
Yeah.
Is that with the Tecate?
Yeah.
And I was all,
that's my jam.
Yeah. I was like, that makes me really happy.
That's what we drink.
So what about for you at home? If you're chilling, if you're sitting at home listening to your Billie Holiday, are you going to have a drink, or do you just drink when you're out with your friends?
I'm not much of a drinker at home.
See, I'm not either.
I really don't.
A lot of bartenders that I talk to are not either.
Well, we're surrounded by it all day.
Yeah.
Once we're home, I feel like that's kind of our respite.
Exactly.
Not to say that I don't enjoy cocktails. So when I'm at home, I have a few go-tos. I like a nice glass of vermouth on ice with a lemon peel, or a glass of sherry, which ends up probably being
so Latin of you.
it's so Latin, but it's also so bartender of
it. Actually, the sherry thing for sure. Yeah, I guess it is, but it's such a big thing, like in Spain and all of this right now.
Yeah.
It's like just the vermouth and the sherry and everything.
But
so
it's delicious.
It is delicious. It is delicious.
So
and
good.
What would be your soundtrack? You're sipping on some vermouth.
Oh, man.
It's a tough call. Again, it all depends on the day, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, at home, so my boyfriend is really way more into music than I am. I mean, he's the library inside of his head is something I've never seen with anybody else. So
I need to talk to your boyfriend.
You really should.
My brain just hurts sometimes.
Yeah, he's incredible. So we do a lot of show tunes, to be honest.
Shut up!
We love show tunes.
Oh my god, that's so exciting!
Yeah, so actually, we've been pretty stuck.
I love that you cop to that. Not everybody can say that with pride, but like I said, no guilty pleasures.
I don't care, man. I have.
Do you have? Oh,
no,
you started scratching. I'm like, do you have a show tune tattoo on your arm?
No.
Oh my god, you got to throw some show tunes at me because I don't know all of them. But I love them.
We've been over the past year, I think, really into this one Broadway play, and it's not new, but I think last year it won the best musical
it was
on
like
Broadway.
The Tony thing.
Yeah, and the Tony Awards. It's Dear Evan Hansen.
Oh yeah.
Mm-hmm. So
those guys wrote.
They wrote La La Land.
La La Land.
Yeah. So we do.
My
we
best
do
friend
La
is
La
the
La
music
La
supervisor for La La Land.
No way.
Yes.
That's
I'm
awesome.
So proud of him.
Oh my god.
So yeah. So I've met those dudes like Benji, whatever.
I'm so.
I know.
Jealous.
We can so dork out more about this later.
I know. Okay. So.
But yes, I haven't seen that play yet, but I know that the score is
So this is. This was awesome. So we had been. We kind of like did some research on the show. We found out, we saw something on the internet. We're like, oh my god, that looks awesome. We should totally, you know, check it out. So what we do is we listen to the entire soundtrack over and over and over again, remembered all the lines to every single song, just became totally obsessed with it, and we can belt this shit out.
I love it.
And so Ben Platt is the main, the star of the show, and he announced last year that his last show was going to be this last week in November. He was no longer going. He's retiring from that role. And I'd always been saying, I was like, if we don't go to see this fucking show with Ben Platt, like, that's it. I can't not see it. you got to make some stuff happen. He's leaving. What do we do? And
you got to get to New York.
Man, I mean, if this. I mean, you're going to fall in love with this man once I tell you the story. I get home one night, and he's like, So here's our tickets to Dear Evan Hansen on the day before his last show. And here's two tickets to New York. We spent a fuck ton of money on this. But it was one of those, like, surprise moments where I was like, oh my God, you didn't really do this. Like, I couldn't believe you fucking did
it. Oh my God.
Yeah, incredible. And we went to New York for like 2 days.
Oh, awesome.
We went to see the show. Hillary Clinton was in the crowd, which was dope.
Jesus. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. And we saw it and I cried. Like,
I was gonna say, did you cry?
Of
did
course.
You cry?
Of course. There was a teenage boy next to me who's a total theater nerd, and I was like, we were talking the whole like 30 minutes before the show started. He's like, this is my third time seeing the show. Have you seen it yet? And I was like, no, I'm so excited. And you just made it.
We start with stars in our eyes. We start believing that we belong. But every sun doesn't rise, and no one tells you where you went wrong. Step out of the sun if you keep getting burned. Step out of the sun because you've learned, because you've learned. On the outside, always looking in, will I ever be more than I've always been? Cause I'm tapping on the glass.
Broadway rules. We are not nerds.
Yeah.
So on that note, we can wrap this thing up and get back to work. Thank you so much for talking to me, Jill.
Yeah,
I really
thank
appreciate
you.
It.
You've been an absolute pleasure.
Is there anything you want to let people know about Blackbird Ordinary? Should they follow Instagram, Facebook,
yeah,
Twitter?
We're on Instagram at Blackbird Ordinary. Our Facebook, I believe, is the same as Blackbird Ordinary. We are open 365 days a year till 5 a.m. every single day.
Yeah, till the wee morning hours.
We wouldn't close if it were the apocalypse coming. Like, we're here for you.
It's true, because you guys have almost apocalyptic things happen here in Miami, like hurricanes every other week or something.
We do not close. We're here.
And what about you? Do you want people to follow your Instagram or anything?
Sure. So I have to spell it out.
Spell it out.
And I think
we all have weird handles.
I think you'll get the joke here. It's at Judge Judy, but Judy is spelled J-E-W-D-Y. Yes, I am a Jew.
Cuban Jews.
Cuban
right.
Jew. I mean, it's Miami, you know?
Yeah.
It's true.
Judge Judy? That's
Judge
great.
Judy.
I like it.
So you can follow me there.
Cool.
See what I'm up to. I'm... You know,
do you post pictures of drinks, or if you just post pictures of whatever,
everything.
Miami life?
Drinks. A lot of drinks. Drink stuff, food, you know, me.
The regular stuff. The regular Instagram
stuff. Because I'm vain
stuff.
As fuck. No, I'm kidding.
No. Awesome. All right, well, thank you so much.
Thank you.
It was a great time. I appreciate it.
Jill Cohen, the wonderful Jill Cohen. You can tell that we were madly in love with each other by the end of this, can't you? She is so great. And if you want to visit Blackbird Ordinary, go on down to Miami and find it. It's a wonderful spot. You can follow them on Instagram and find them in all the usual places. As for Jill, she's no longer with Blackbird Ordinary, but she has moved on to become a beverage operations manager with Team Enterprises, which basically produces, plans, executes, and runs bars at large-scale events for Bacardi in its portfolio. So just this weekend, I'm missing her at the Life is Beautiful Festival in Las Vegas. So if you see a great big event and there's Bacardi there, look for Jill Cohen. Follow her on Instagram. It's Judge Judy, J-E-W-D-Y, and then you can get a clue as to where she may be. Thanks so much, Jill, for doing this. It was so great to meet you, and I hope that the rest of you enjoyed this, and make sure to go to my Facebook page to find the Spotify link, because she picked some really good tracks for that. Music and Booze with Mo is brought to you by Barkeeper, a head shop for cocktail lovers, located at 614 North Hoover Street in Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Stop by for barware, vintage glassware, a carefully curated collection of spirits, and one of the most impressive selections of bitters anywhere. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook for information regarding spirits tastings. That's barkeepersilverlake.com, and also in the Virgil Village neighborhood of Silver Lake, Los Angeles. Thanks for tuning in to our barroom chats on music and booze with Mo. For more info about today's guests and our Spotify playlist, check out my Facebook page, Mo Herms. Please subscribe to the podcast and feel free to tell all your friends about it. Lower your expectations and join us at the bar. Till next time, cheers.